I sit on the wrong side tonight. I hope I don't mess anything up. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 5.
Proverbs, chapter number 5.
The fifth chapter of the book of Proverbs. Won't even begin to get through all this tonight, but that's okay. We'll cut it off at some point and come back and look at it as we go. Proverbs chapter number 5, we'll just start at verse 15. Proverbs 5, and starting at verse 15. Again, this chapter is much like a father giving instruction to his son, giving wisdom, trying to help him to live a life of integrity and wisdom, and to help him, not just so he can be even spiritual. I believe some of this stuff is just so practical. He's like, listen, if you'll pay attention, this help you. This keep you out of a lot of messes. And the Bible can certainly help us stay from a lot of messes. And Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well, lest thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and thank you for this time to study your word, and I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of the skills we need to make a marriage work. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to paint it as honest as the scripture is, but God, help us to realize that we each have responsibility for our words and our actions, attitudes, and so I pray tonight that we would pay attention, and your spirit would help us, and it would speak to us. God, even me, remind me what I need to do. And I pray others, may they be reminded as well. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk about somebody has skills. And we say somebody has skills, means that they have talent for certain things. You see some people that are very skilled in whatever career choice that they have. You hire someone, if you own a business, you're not necessarily interested so much sometimes about just their presentation before you. You want to find out what skill sets they actually have and if they're actually able to perform. I think that's what's important. I think that having certain skills enables a person to be successful in whatever they do. Now, Proverbs is a book filled with wisdom. It's filled with wisdom for every aspect of life. And it also has many things to say about relational skills that we need in marriage. And to be a good basketball player, a guy's got to practice. I mean, he's got to practice. There are certain skills that he needs to develop. Moving his feet, dribbling the ball, head up, good balance on the floor. There's good fundamentals you need to practice and just keep training your muscles to memorize those movements, to develop your skills, to be, I'd say, to be a great fisherman. There's things that Bradley's had to learn and to adjust to and to do that's different. Takes practice, takes time. Don't happen. Just don't wake up and you're a great fisherman, right? Unless you're using dynamite. You can be a great fisherman then. But if you're going to be a good farmer, somebody's had to teach you. You've had to learn somewhere along the way. If I started farming right now, I'd make a mess out of it, I promise you. Right? I mean, just make a mess out of it. It comes by experience, things you've done over and over. It doesn't matter what your career, if you're a mechanic, a carpenter, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, you have to develop certain skills to be successful. And one of the saddest things is, in our churches and in our culture at large, people think that the wedding that if they make it to that point, they make it to the point of the organization where the bride walks down the aisle and all the decorations and the activities and festivities afterward, that's organized and everybody's in place, and it's that magical moment and time that everybody wants to remember, especially the mother-in-law, right? Or the mother wants to remember. We think we've had a success, but the measure of success is not how wonderful the ceremony is. The difficulty of marriage is not actually getting married. The difficulty of marriage is actually staying together. Right? I mean, that's the fact. The old saying says that all weddings were made in heaven. It's the living together afterward that's the trouble. Right? And that's how it is. We live in culture, and many churches and Christians will proclaim the virtue of marriage. We even equate society's downfall to what's happened in homes and marriage. But very rarely do we set out to develop the skills to have a successful marriage. To develop those skills. If we look here, there's proverbial marriage skills. That's what I'm preaching on, proverbial marriage skills laid all throughout the book of Proverbs that we need. If you want to get better at something, if it's welding, you've got to practice. You've got to listen to some people. And I want to tell you tonight, there's some things. Marriage comes by a lot of practice, a lot of mess ups, a lot of forgiveness. But just sometimes you have to listen to people. And the best person to listen to is God. What His Word says. It goes counterculture in the roles of men and women. A lot of times people just rebel against it. But the Word of God still yet works. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. Now, I've said this many times, and Jill's here, and I probably said it here before. I've never considered divorce, but I have thought about murder several times. I'm sure Jill has too. She joked with me the other day, you know, and we were talking about something. She said, "Yeah, you just always said you'd shoot me the shotgun until God I died of the chicken pox." Now, if something happens, you're crazy. Everybody come arrest me after this sermon. But listen, you say, "Brother Grant, I can't believe you'd say such thing." Well, I want to tell you, anybody who's been married any time at all knows one thing for sure. Generally, the person you love the most can comfort you and encourage you more than anybody in the world. But the person you also love the most and close to can irritate you and drive you crazy and drive you insane quicker than anybody in the world. That's the way this thing happens. I don't know why it is. So it doesn't just come natural. People think we get married and suddenly, over the course of time, everything just falls in place. We're always sweet when we talk. We're not ugly. We're not hateful. We're always patient. And we always speak kindly, and we always do what we're supposed to do in our role of marriage. It don't happen that way. Just like a guy can want to play basketball, but if he don't pick it up for 6 months, I promise you, he's not going to perform that well. Just isn't going to do it. Unless he's just some weird freak of nature athletically. But the truth of the matter is, you have got to develop your skills to be able to perform. The first skill is one of spirituality. Pretty simple. Spirituality. You say, where is that? Proverbs 18 and 22. Look in Proverbs 18 and verse 22. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18, verse 22. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth what? A good thing." It's a good thing to find a wife. "And he obtaineth favor from the Lord." In other words, God blessed this man. He's found a wife. And he has attained favor from the Lord. But let me just preface this and say this, not just a wife. I think the Bible makes this very clear, because there's always somebody out there that wants to get married, fellas. And ladies, there's always, if your standards are low enough, if you're a single person, if your standards are low enough, you always have somebody. Huh? That's good preaching. But the truth is that we shouldn't be like that. It talks about you find a wife, you find a good thing. But look, Proverbs 19:14. It says, "House and riches are inheritance of the fathers, but guess what? A prudent or a wise wife is from the Lord." I'm talking about the first skill is spirituality. In other words, God is involved with this thing. When we look at the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter number 31, Proverbs 31, Look at verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And the things she does, her children, everybody be praising her in the gates. So a prudent wife is what? It is from the Lord. I think that's important. For if a man had found a wife, he has found favor from God. But I believe the first principle all throughout the Bible is that believers are to marry believers. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I don't think that means sitting at a ball game beside a lost guy. I don't think that's what I'm talking about. Here's what I think. One primary thing is this. If you are saved, you don't need to date somebody, young people, who are not saved. That's pretty simple. If you're grown and you're courting, looking to marry, you don't go out and think, oh, man, I'm going to marry this fella and I'm going to live so good in front of him, he'll get saved. I got news to you. Marriage is not an evangelistic technique. And you say, well, but I know somebody didn't. It turned out awful. It turned out fine. Well, maybe it did. But I'd show you dozens that turned out terribly. Amen. Don't look at me funny. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do if I'm married, already married somebody, and they're not saved? Well, you be the best Christian you possibly can in front of them. Yes, I believe that. But you're never going to have this preacher look at you and tell you that it is okay if you go ahead and marry somebody that is not saved, if you're saved. You say, but they're really good looking. I don't care. They're really pretty. I don't care about that either. I don't care if they're wealthy. I don't care if they got all kinds of things going for them. Because the first principle, the first skill, we need to be in unison on one thing, and it's this, that we are the children of God. That is a place to start. You see, I believe that that we get to the place in America, we think that stuff is not all that important. But I want to tell you, the first principle that is developed throughout the Bible is, if a man finds a woman, it has to be one that comes from the Lord. That's the good thing. Let me talk about a second skill that I believe comes from Scripture. Now, I'm not chasing that, because there's several here. But the second one is, I believe, faithfulness. You need the skill of having being faithful, or fidelity. What do you mean by fidelity? That means being loyal. It means to be continuously loyal. It means to also support. But more in this culture, what we need to learn about fidelity is this, is having sexual faithfulness. In marriage, it's to be between one man, one woman. That's God's design of marriage, the way God designed it with Adam and Eve. That's the way it was in the beginning. And it was designed for that man and that woman, and that is God's plan. Now, in verse chapter 5, verse 15, he gave an instruction to his son. And I want you to notice some things. He's very plain spoken here. So you get uncomfortable, I apologize. Take it up with God. But he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. In other words, if you're going to get satisfaction, you know where you're supposed to be getting it from? Getting it from home. Not another woman. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's a proverb. Now, and he said, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let that be thine own only, and not the strangers with thee. You see, he's talking about doing something that would be plumb foolish or wasteful. When he speaks of the rivers of waters and fountains, He's speaking of man's reproductive abilities. I'll just kind of stop there, but you see it. And he's saying that you shouldn't be used up in a way in which you have children. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. In other words, one of the things that happens is, we have it all, even in our county, and we have it in our state and across the nation, is that people have children and ladies joke about my baby's daddy. They have three babies. They'll be on 10 and different daddies. Something's wrong there. They say, should we beat them up? No, I'm not saying that. We should minister to them. But I want to tell you, Now, that's one of the problems. It is something that it becomes a strain upon a culture, and it is going to cause problems within those children not having their father around. It causes all kinds of relational problems. And you say, what should we do? Well, one thing we need to learn as a church, number one, we don't look down on people, but we need to understand they most likely they need to be saved by the grace of God. And if it hadn't been the grace of God, we would have probably been in worse shape or just as bad a shape. Or if you hadn't been placed by the grace of God in the family that you were in and taught the things you were taught, it's untelling what you might be doing. So we don't want to look down on them, but also at the same time we need to understand that we as Christians ought to be wise enough not to engage in that type of culture. It's pretty simple to me. And he warns you, it's like father talking to his son. Listen, men, you need to have those conversations with your sons and your grandsons or anybody you have influence on. Listen, stay away from this. Don't be doing that. It's not wise. Let thine own be thine, a stranger with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed. And rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, let me say to you, God's plan, I believe this, is not that that we go out here and we try to find just something to give us immediate pleasure. Verse 15 tells us, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Verse 18 said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. In other words, we grow up with this woman that we have married through a lifetime. We grow up and we are blessed by that relationship we develop over time. Now, let me just say a few things here that I heard this, and I don't know who the host was, don't know who the actor was, but I'd read this a while back, that there was a host that asked a famous actor, he said, tell me what makes a great lover? And the actor actually shocked everybody that was listening. Here's what he said. A great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman for all her life and be satisfied by one woman all his life. Not someone who goes from woman to woman. Any dog can do that. Do you hear me? We're better than dogs. Dog getting, you know, I had dogs, then female dog getting heat, and that dog would disappear for a week. I said, I don't know if that dog lived. He'd come home and be a big strapping dog, come back and look like everybody in the world had beat him up. You know how deers get killed? Because they're chasing women, right? That's how you know how you get turkey? You trick them in, think that there's a beautiful hen sitting on a hill. And it's a decoy and somebody with a call in their mouth, right? Let me just tell you something. There's a lesson in here for all you fellas, all you young men. Better watch chasing after women. Hey, men, let me tell you this as married. You better watch chasing after something that looks beautiful sitting up on the hill. Huh? And he talks about that in Proverbs. She called and she wooed him and she looked at him and all these things. And he was taken in by her and her invitation, and he fell prey to that. You know, Proverbs, listen, the Bible's pretty plain spoken about these things. And you know what often comes? Nothing but heartache and nothing but grief. God's plan, and I'll talk about that in another sermon. We won't get to it tonight. It is red hot monogamy. God plans for man and woman to enjoy each other, not just for procreation, but for pleasure. That's God's design. And the world acts like once you get married, that there's no more fun, no more joy. That's nonsense. Not the way God designed it. So, God's plan is sexual relationships be between a man and a woman in the bonds of matrimony. Now, this skill of being faithful to one another, the vows that we take to each other on the day of marriage can go a great way, for we remind ourselves of these often, to have a successful marriage. Let me give you a third thing, and probably as far as I'll go, but I'm going to try to get through it. The skill of being kind. The skill of simply being kind. You need skills to succeed. Imagine this, the skill of being kind. I read this and it was good. The core of marriage is spirituality. The covenant of marriage is fidelity. And the characteristic of marriage is congeniality. In other words, being kind. Being kind. We need to learn to be kind one to another. You know, the person I could be the most hateful to in the world, guess who it is? My wife. You know who I should be the kindest to? My wife. Anybody else ever been guilty of that? You don't have to raise your hand, but just kind of, yeah. It's easy. to be that way. Why is that? I don't know. But you see, partners in marriage must constantly work at this thing about getting along. I do. I got to constantly work at it. And, I mean, good night. I got married in 97. I'm still working on it. I don't know that I ever have it figured out. I hope I do one day. But and some people are better at it than others, but that's fine. But at truth, for the rest of us normal people, we got to continue to work on it. I ain't got to figure it out. I think I do. But you know what gets involved? My emotions. Theologically, I could tell you everything you need to do. And I dare say most of us here, biblically and theologically, can tell everybody exactly what we need to do. But do we allow our emotions and attitude to get involved and ruin what we know in the head and what we know from the Bible? I think that's what often happens. You see, we got to work on relating one to another. We got to work on speaking kindly one to another. As I said earlier, compatibility by two people does not just happen by time. It's a skill that must be developed. A skill is something you've got to learn, to develop, and to practice. And I believe the book of Proverbs speaks about that. You see, there's some things that help. Look in Proverbs 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. It says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." So it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The world needs to learn this today because the world is so success driven and so about gaining more and more and more. What ends up happening is in the pursuit of those things, we often put our marriages on the back burner. And we don't develop the skills of kindness. You see, let me just tell you what happens is that money sometimes can get in the way, and sometimes it is the having a right perspective about money. Because I've run into couples that said when we were young and first got married and we didn't have anything, we were so happy. Now we got this and this responsibility, this place to go, and it just seems like we're driven apart. Well, why is that? Because in the process of trying to keep up with the Joneses and the standard of the world, we drive ourselves apart and we add stress to the marriage. Now the book of Proverbs says here, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. In other words, than great treasure and trouble therewith. You better off to have not so much and have the fear of the Lord and the peace of God. But it says better is a dinner of herbs. In other words, you'd be better off eating pinto beans and salads all the time where there's love, where there's cornbread and pinto beans, rather than having steak and potatoes, rather than having the finest meats and the finest things. You'd be better off listening to me to drive around a junker and have love in your home than to drive the shiniest, fanciest car out there and the most expensive one with all the bells and whistles. Then you all constantly stress, how are you going to pay for it, and fighting and arguing. You see, that's the principle right there. And what happens is when we get stressed, we have a hard time being kind one to another. There's dinner herbs where what love is. See, that love is. That's kindness, love. And so, let me tell you, I've seen people that they're offered a different career, a different job. And sometimes I sit back and think, man, they really need to think about it. Yeah, they may make a lot more money, but is it worth it? What's it going to do to your family? What's it going to do to your marriage? Some people come along and they see a bigger home. Well, I think we can make payments as everything goes right. How many of you, everything has went right every year? Raise your hand. None of us, right? So you better watch it. You liable to add a bunch of stress. And they say that money issues is the greatest reason for divorce. Can you believe that? People want to get a promotion, but what comes with that promotion? What are you working for? Would you rather be in a home with this basic things and love, or have the best that money can buy? I'm talking new furniture, new flooring, everything else, and constantly stressed how you're going to pay for it, and constantly working and away from one another to make sure you pay for it, to live the American dream. I believe Proverbs says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I think there's wisdom there. There's some righteous, what we must say, practices we should be engaged in as well with a husband and wife. Look in Proverbs 11 and 29. Proverbs 11 and 29. Boy, the book of Proverbs is good. It said, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. In other words, he that comes along and he brings trouble to his own house, what he's going to really do, it's like the wind's going to blow upon it, it's going to disappear, it's not going to be there. If you mismanage what God has placed in your care, all you're going to have is adversity. And I want to tell you, the thing that we must manage the most in our home is not our finances or when the trash is taken out and who's doing the dishes. The thing that we must manage the most is the relationships that we have one with another. Husband and wife, father to children, children with their mother, vice versa, all the way around. That's the thing that's key that we constantly be trying to manage. And it says that it's better, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And so I want to say that that many people's homes have been blown away by adversity. Look in Proverbs 11 and 22. It says, a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, wouldn't that look stupid to see you go somewhere, Tim, Terry, y'all, I don't know if y'all still have hogs or not. Well, they used to, but how would y'all like to go by there if somebody had hogs? Who's got hogs here? Rodney, you still got that smart pig that outsmarted me. See any pig, say, had big jewel right in his nose, some of its ears. You say, that's stupid. Why would anybody want to put diamonds in their nose and a hog's ears? That's stupid. That don't cover up the ugliness. Aha. Uh-huh. You get it? And it says right here that a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman. Using a simile here, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. I don't care how beautiful she is. She's no different than a pig. She's no more attractive than a pig with a diamond in his nose and diamonds in his ears. Because I got news for you, attractiveness to your husband is not all about physical qualities. Attractiveness to your husband is about attitude and about spirit. You understand that? Your attitude and the spirit. And Peter speaks of that. It's not about the broided hair, the decorated hair, and the makeup. It's not those things. It's about somebody with a quiet and a meek spirit. Somebody that is respectful. And so we see this plainly in the Word of God. And our beauty is ruined by the bad attitudes that she might bestow. But Proverbs 12:4 tells us this. A virtuous woman, on the other hand, is what? A crown to her husband. And she that makes him ashamed is rottenness to his bones. That's a little bit about respect, and we'll get to that eventually. But right here it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Now think about it. That's the difference. One that has no virtue, one without discretion, I don't care how pretty she is, it's embarrassing to him. It causes trouble. But a woman of virtue is a crown to her husband. So when it comes to marriage, let me just tell you something, women. Your husband only goes far as you go. And it ain't about just making the man successful, but it's about making the marriage successful. You see, I got news for you. You can get up and dress and look up pretty and everything else, but if you have the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude, he's not going to really find you attractive. But a woman that honors him and respects him is like a crown to him. He'll want to show that off to everybody, and he'll walk around like a bunny rooster proud. Huh? He'll be thankful for the wife that God has given him. Let me tell you, there's a response of love and respect. Proverbs 11 and 16 tells us this. Proverbs 11 and 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. Notice, a gracious woman, a thankful woman, retaineth honor. We see that. Look in Proverbs 12 and 4. The Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. And you say, now, how in the world did that come about, rottenness to his bones? Because you see, if she comes along and she makes him ashamed, that means she embarrassed him. She didn't show him respect. I want to tell you, there's two great things, and you read Ephesians chapter 5. We won't go there tonight. Our whole Sunday, we spent weeks and weeks in our Sunday school class about this whole principle. God has, it's a simple plan for marriage to work, and it's called love and respect. Your wife desires love, the man desires respect. She desires love above everything else, and the man wants respect. Now, I ain't saying he don't want love, and I ain't saying she don't want respect, But generally speaking, 90% of the time, I'll tell you this, a man wants to feel respected even more than he feels loved. Women know how to love. She says, well, but I love my husband. Yeah, but the way you just talk to him in front of people, I want to tell you what, he feels ashamed and it's rottenness to his bones. Better watch how you phrase things. Better watch how you say things. If you go to correct him, it may be joking, it may be ingesting, it may be the attitude that you show him by facial expressions when he speaks. All it says to him is disrespect. When he feels disrespect, guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to feel loving toward you. Now, men, when you speak harshly, when you speak quickly like you'd speak to your buddies, and rude sometimes, she don't feel like she ought to respect you. Right? So if you don't show love, you probably don't get respect. And you know what happens? This thing spins out of control. It gets uglier and uglier and uglier. Why is that? Because Proverbs 24:26. I'm going to try to draw it home right here. Proverbs 24:26. Turn there. The Bible says, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. Now, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Every man shall kiss his lips. How do you kiss your lips? But notice here in Proverbs. When we read our Bible, we understand italicized words were not in the original language, but they were given to add clarity. If we take that out, here's what it's saying, because there is a gender indicated within in the wording in the Hebrew, but here's what, if I wrote it down, it's simply this. He kisses the lips. Notice the italicized word, it's every man's italicized, his is italicized, but there is an understanding within the context here about a man, is that he shall kiss lips that giveth the right answer. Now pay attention to this. If you want affection in your home, quit trying to say, well, that woman don't respect me, and bless God, she ought to submit to me, and all that kind of stuff. But what we're seeing right here, they say he kisses the lips that gives a what? A right answer. Now, is the right answer just given the right information? Is it just being honest? Is it just being correct? No, I believe it's more than that. I believe it's about attitude as well. The right or appropriate answer is a sign of intimacy and respect and honor and love. If she asks you a dumb question, or when she asks you a dumb question, you know what you should do? You should answer the right way. Because when I look here, he kisses the lips. How does he kiss the lips that giveth the right answer? You know what happens? A man that is talking harshly to his wife, he ain't going to get no sugar. Like Grant Hardwick version, right? He ain't going to get no loving. Come on, that ought to get our attention. Why? Because of the way he answered with his lips. If he answers the right way, he's going to get some affection. Now think about that. He kisses the lips. He gets appreciation, he gets love, and he gets, because why? He gets a kiss that answers the right way. But think about this, just as a man can answer the right way, he can answer the wrong way. He can lie, he can be rude in his response, he can be harsh in his remark, and what he do is stir up resentment. And when you stir up resentment, I promise you that you're not going to get too much affection. Right? Why? It's about the way we speak. We need to be considerate and careful the way we answer. And I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. It talks about a man nourishing, cherishing his wife. That means like he's taking care of his own flesh. His own flesh. In other words, he puts her before him. And by her submitting, she's honoring him. When she's in reverence her husband, what he's saying is showing respect. She shows respect, preferential respect. The Bible commands the husband to love his wife unconditionally. The wives. You say, but he has to earn my respect. That's out of hell. Do you hear this preacher tonight? If I was to tell you that a wife has to earn love, you say, whoa, no. He's to love his wife. He's to love his wife. Christ loved the church. She don't have to earn it. He's supposed to do it. Let me tell you a secret. He don't have to earn respect either. He's your husband. You ought to respect him the way God designed it. Unconditional respect for the man, unconditional love. And if there's not, there's going to be problems. I promise you, I have sat with couple after couple and have listened sometimes, and I initially listen to think, this guy is sorry. And then I'd see some things and think, man, this guy feels like he's not even a man anymore. So I want to tell you, you know where it starts? It starts with our lips. Are we kind with one another? Man, I got some things that I don't even make it tonight. But you know, the book of Proverbs, I'll just read this 21:9. And I ain't just slamming them because I got a lot to say to men too, but 21:9, he says, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. You know what? In that day, they didn't have roofs like we do, corner housetop. No, he's living outside. It better off live outside than in the house with a woman constantly fussing. You see, I got news for you. Women, you got to show your husband respect. Men, you got to learn to speak kindly. The hardest thing I ever do in my marriage is not fidelity. It's not trying to provide for my wife or protect my wife. That's easy. It comes natural to me. But just when I feel like I'm disrespected and she'll not even realize she disrespect me, to speak kindly, man, that's hard. You know the hardest thing your wife can do is when she feels like she ain't loved, to show respect for you. May I say to you, the book of Proverbs has so much here, so much here. We ought to be students of the Word if we want to have skills. And there's one area we ought to have skills. It ought to be skills in marriage. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, there's so much here. And I could go on for hours tonight. Easy, easy. But I pray, God, that we would take this Word tonight and we would pay attention to it. And God, we'd all settle to leave here and make wise decisions with relationships. That you'd help our young men and young women not fall in the trap of just lust. Help them not to be taken in by that kind of stuff, but help us to see that there's some things that's really important. In the choosing of who we date, who we court, who we marry. God, help us that are married to understand this isn't something that we are just going to develop all these skills and be perfect just over time. It's going to take continual practice. Because we're going to forget some things and we're going to need to be reminded. And we're going to need to, on purpose, intentionally practice those things. Because marriage is a constant work until you call us home. But it is one of the biggest blessings of all time. There's no place that we'll find our joy any greater than in the bonds of matrimony and then in family. So God, if we send out the warning and the needed skills, God, we need those skills so we can experience full joy. Because the way you designed it within marriage, the happiness and pleasure and the joy and peace that comes is greater than anything this world can offer when we have the right skills. So help us to desire those skills. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.